This is Amber.
And this is Shannon.
And you're listening to
Twin Beaks,
the Chicken Fanatics Podcast.
It's fucking great.
And welcome to Twin Beaks Podcast, Chapter 3. Episode 3, number 3, all the threes. This is Shannon.
And this is Amber.
And we're here to talk about chickens.
Yay! We've got our 8 little peepers here with our weekly update.
That's right. So, let's see. We can hear them going over there.
Peeping away. They're about 3 times as big as they were last week. They were about the size of an egg when we got them.
Wait, so for everybody holding their breath in a complete fit of anxiety for an entire week, waiting, turning blue, let's just tell them everybody survived.
Everyone's doing well, in fact.
You got to mention that because sometimes it doesn't work out that way.
We did put it out there last week that we got extra just in case, and looks like that was unnecessary. We've got a little small army in here.
That's true. Now, we're not entirely out of the woods yet because I have seen them just go for a few weeks and suddenly just fall over. Yeah. But the first week is really critical, especially if you mail order them right out of the box. There's a pretty, or have them sent through the mail. Yes, order them out of a box. At any rate, the fatality rate is a bit high. So we're past stage critical. And let's see, we've had some personality changes, right? Since the first time we did the show with them, they were kind of jet lagged.
Yes.
Probably, literally, yes, jet lagged. So what's different in the pecking order?
Well, the little silver one, the blue Andalusian, was kind of on the bottom of the pecking order and a little timid when we first got them, and she's kind of climbed her way to the top and seems to be somewhat in charge now, so
yeah,
that's a little bit of a change.
Strength through proximity, I think. I noticed that she started hanging out with Perfect Posture, who has always been kind of large and in charge in there.
Yeah, that's true. They both kind of are the first to run in and investigate when there's any sign of danger and
Any sign of anything, really.
Any sign of anything.
Yeah. So one of the fun things you can do with your baby chicks is play little games with them. They like anything that moves and is small. So you can drag your finger through a small pile of the feed, and it makes the feed kernels kind of hop around, if you can imagine it at home there. And the chicks love that. They love running over there and like, oh, it moved. It's exactly the same kind of food, but now I'm going to eat it with enthusiasm because it moved.
It's like a little bug.
Right, yeah. Anything that makes them think of a little bug. They have a high instinct for wanting to find and kill little bugs, look for little pieces of lettuce, the normal animal behaviors. So if you give them like a tiny little piece of newspaper or just make the feed move around, they go crazy for it.
They go a little nuts for anything different in there, too. If something falls in there, they'll investigate and just start messing around with it.
Well, if I think if I lived in a box for a week.
Yeah, they need enrichment items.
Yeah. You know, we should get TV.
TV for chickens.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
chicken TV.
And then we'd have to get cable.
Yeah, CTV.
Because there's nothing on TV. And then we can, not for us, just for them.
Just for the chickens.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they might like to watch Liberace, like that other chicken we saw in that documentary.
Maybe I could cut a little hole in the side of the container and tape my phone to the outside of it and play them chicken movies on YouTube.
I think that's a great idea.
Everybody at home should try that.
Yeah, we really
definitely
wanna,
try that. And then send us a video with
Give
your other phone.
Best opportunity.
Yeah, send us a video of you teaching your chicks how to watch TV. So what else has gone on in there?
Oh, well, it seems like I noticed that they were kind of doing something that resembled playing a game. At first, I had thought that one of them had some really delicious food and they were chasing each other around. I wasn't sure what they had gotten a hold of, but then I looked and it was just a little leaf, and what they were doing was one would get it and then the rest would chase that one around like crazy until he dropped it or they were able to grab it from him or her, and then they would take a turn with it. So I thought that was very interesting, since I wasn't really thinking of little chickens as a type of creature that would play games. I always associate that with mammals and some of the really intelligent birds like the corvids, but they seem to do that, so that was kind of neat.
Yeah, they do. And they'll grow up and keep doing it, except if you let them outside, it'll be with bugs, a particularly tasty piece of plant. The chickens that I had out on my property, that was... And at that, it's not a game when they're doing it.
Yeah.
They want that bug.
They're getting practice right now.
Yeah, this is practice.
Just like a lot of children's games, the skills that are applicable to other things in adult life. But
kittens
for fun.
Do mm-hmm. practice games. So let's see. We did have a couple of scary moments. Mm-hmm. I think those are important to talk about because sometimes it means something and sometimes mm-hmm. it doesn't. Let's see. So one episode we had was one of them acting very strangely.
Yes, what? Yes.
That was earlier on.
It's the same one that has, we've discovered, it seems to have digestion problems.
It is the same one.
It is the same one.
Oh.
So I think it was, it was born with a weaker constitution, or another thing I suspect is possibly this is medicated chick feed, and I wonder if maybe that one has like an allergy to it or something like that.
Right.
I'd like to look into that and see if that's something that anyone has talked about.
So it's been acting constipated. Well, it's been constipated.
Yeah, it's been rather amusing.
Yeah, that's not a pretty sight, but things tend to work themselves out slowly, if you'll follow.
But we have ran in there, we've heard the distress calls, and ran in there to see what the matter was and been like, oh, well, I guess we'll give you some
things
privacy.
Are a little stuck.
Work that out on your own.
But, and then some other odd behavior. Mm. It's just more like there's something kind of off about this bird. She's strange. She's strange. She does things like just kick the food out of the dish constantly.
Right. It's that one. Yeah.
And run around yawning a lot.
She'll wake up and then like all the chicks will be sleeping peacefully and she'll perk up and stick up her head and start just peeping really loud until everybody's awake, and then she'll go back to bed.
And she doesn't seem particularly freaked out, like, on a physical health level most of the time. It's just mm-hmm. a lot of odd behavior and the constipation
thing. A little agitated, like a little more high-strung than the rest of the birds.
So sometimes you get your birds and all of them are acting fine, and then one of them starts to act strange, and it can be, no big deal, or it can lead to something greater. So a lot of times, and I bring this up because people might be having their first batch of chicks, or, and they're listening to the podcast. So I've had lots and lots of baby birds. So a lot of times this stuff tends to just sort itself out. It's like they're internal organs, something is going on, but they grow and recover from it, or they ate something when they were small.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what it is, but it just goes away. And there's not really a lot you can do anyway, because they're very small, cheap birds. I suppose you could mm-hmm. like take a baby. I don't even think you could take a bird somewhere for surgery or investigative medicine to determine why your bird is acting weird. Or
I try to take a chicken to a vet before, and most normal vets won't see chickens. So
that's right.
They send you to a
livestock veterinarian, which...
And good luck in San Francisco Bay Area.
And you'll pay for it, too, I imagine.
Quite a lot. It was more than, I expected.
So a lot of times it's worth it just to see if the issue will resolve itself. And they do. And other times they don't. So depending on why, and I don't think we should really get into the wide variety of things that could go wrong with your baby birds right now. Maybe handle that in its own episode. But the thing that you really want to look for generally is deteriorating condition. Mm-hmm. You know, so if the bird is doing something, but it seems like it's reasonably stable and the problem doesn't get worse, sometimes it's worth it to just watch and just let things take their course. And if the condition deteriorates, maybe you want to go in and do something about it. And then depending on the problem, that could be a variety of things. The thing I was thinking of was the leg injury.
Oh, with the little one that got stuck?
I don't know. We never figured out what happened to it. They had some kind of weird
ninja
backflip contest.
Yeah, which they do frequently. They take a flying leap right into some other chicken. It seems like it's on purpose for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't really have a sense of their own vulnerability.
Yeah, so we were worried. She was really having a hard time walking around.
Limping. There was a lot of limping.
Yeah.
And sitting on the ground, which is not a good sign. When you see a bird that won't get up, that's bad. But I determined that it was just a minor leg injury and she needed to walk it off.
Yeah.
And sure enough, that happened after about half a day.
Yeah, it was really early on. And luckily that happened at night. So I think that may have had something to do with her recovery, because she did get to just rest. Where if it had happened in the morning, these birds are just so active all day long.
Right. So let's see. Do we have... Oh, yeah. Why don't you talk about how their feathers grew out? So this is week one, right? So,
yeah.
And how many days had we had them?
We've had them...
Prior to the show, last show? Like 2 days, maybe?
Oh, last time, yeah.
So, we had them this is about 9 days old, then.
Yeah.
Or 10, I guess, because of the mailing time and all that, but... So why don't you say, what do they look like at 9 days, 10 days?
Yeah, they are about three times as large as they were last time we had the show.
They grew really fast.
They grew so fast. They're about, if you imagine the size of a normal chicken egg from the store, they're maybe three times as big as that. So they've grown quite a lot. And they first started getting these tiny little wing feathers coming in, and every day they just grew and grew, and now they have fairly developed little wings, and they are actually fluttering around this giant Great Dane sized dog kennel cage I have, so they have a lot of room to exercise their wings, and they've got a little tiny tail coming in and stuff, so... They're growing quite quickly, and the interesting thing is all these chickens have very different markings as adult. They're quite distinctive looking birds, but I'm noticing that the chicks all kind of have this mottled brown, black, gray, kind of what you'd imagine for like a wild camouflaged baby bird. There's one that's a silver color that has gray feathers, but for the most part, the rest, their feathers coming in actually look very similar. Is there a bird that people would be familiar with? I could describe the kind of markings that are on these little babies.
I'd say barred.
Yeah.
Feathers like you'd see with a lot of hawks and owls.
Right, that's a good example.
I think the term for the spotted kind of thing is mottled.
Yeah, it's like kind of brown, black, a little bit of beige. on almost all of the birds, and they're going to look quite different when they get older. And they've been getting into plenty of trouble with their new little wings and, you know, trying to fly through the bars of the cage, which luckily they've given up on. But when they first got in there, they gave it a shot to try to, you know, get high enough to go through. And one of them got stuck on some fabric and I had to come and...
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, I had to get his little claw unhooked from it. He was kind of hanging there from one leg, so she had gotten to a little bit of trouble. But yeah, so that's about what they've been up to.
Sounds pretty good. Well, we'll check in again in a week with the babies and see if there's anything new to talk about. Oh, you know what? Well, we'll have to, in fact, next week we'll let everybody know what the names were
they
picked out for them. Yes. Yeah, lots of silly names.
Their personalities have really been shining, so we've had fun.
Yeah, right. So stay tuned next week for what we named our chicks. And now we're going to have a news and chicken stories with Amber segment. Doing this probably every week, so this is just going to be a sort of roundup of interesting stuff about chickens that Amber is ferreted out of the dark caverns of human knowledge.
Yes, I've scratched up some fascinating tidbits of information for you. Starting with a Florida woman who had been arrested after deputies found more than 100 chickens and roosters living in her two Florida homes. The neighbors had been complaining about her chicken hoarding for over 2 years until they finally made an investigation, and when they did, they were coming for her, and the neighbors were really mad because they saw her moving all these birds to the house next door, which she also owned. So she had them really packed in there. So when they got in there, there was roosters, there were chickens, there were turkeys. I believe there was 106 of them all just living free in this house. They were on top of desks. Wow. They were in the kitchen.
What's wrong with that?
I think it's, you know, if you have a house and you want a packet full of chickens, I must say the chickens in the picture looked pretty happy. I was astonished that I didn't see droppings everywhere, so she must have been keeping up on the chickens pretty stringently, because we all know how hard that is to keep them clean, so.
I can't imagine.
I can't imagine either.
It was crazy. The pictures in this story, and you definitely want to look this up. Yeah, the pictures in this story, I mean, the house just has normal house stuff all over, as though there were people still living in it.
Yeah.
I think what's going on here is that probably they wrecked her first house, and this is the second house, and it hasn't been trashed yet.
That's what I was thinking, too, because
there's no way they could keep it that clean.
It was impossible. I mean, you should see our little 8 chickens in this big cage. They demolish it within a few hours. It is a mess.
I know what a chicken does in your house in an hour and a half, let alone 50 of them.
Well, she had 104 chickens and 2 turkeys.
Sure.
All running about. Yep. They're on the phone.
Things wouldn't be complete without the turkeys.
They're looking at the oven there. They're prancing about the hallway in front of the mirrors and on top of desks. So
don't you think people should just mind their own business and ignore the 100 chickens living next door in the house?
I kind of think so. Live and let live, you know. But the neighbors apparently said the noise and the smell was horrible, that they couldn't go out on their porch for 2 years, and I don't know, it sounds like a little exaggeration. I don't know, but people sure do like to get upset about anything out of the ordinary. This picture here is really funny. She has a bunch of, it appears to be junk mail in a bin, and it's so packed into it. There's a chicken perched on top of the junk mail sticking up out of this thing. There's a chicken on keyboard on this desk, and gosh, you can tell that in these photos that the deputies took, there's a bunch of roosters too. So, yeah, check out these pictures online. They're actually on the, there's a police blog, I guess. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. So we're not sure if she flew the coop or if she stuck around for trial or what, but...
No, we looked it up, remember?
What happened was she...
She got another charge for failure to appear
in
contempt
of
court. Yeah.
Nice.
Well, maybe she's gone rogue and is seeking to liberate her chickens and return them to safety.
Yeah, well, I hear there's a lot of vacant property down in Southern California in the desert there, so maybe she'll start up another house, put some more chickens in there.
Get a bigger house.
Chickens. Yeah, get a bigger house.
Maybe skip on the wall-to-wall carpeting.
Skip on the neighbors, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, let's see. Second off, we have... I think this is incredible. They have found that chickens have a smell that seems to repel mosquitoes. So they're using chickens in areas that are high... in incidences of malaria, because a lot of mosquitoes have become resistant to insecticides and repellents and things like that. So they're finding that the chicken is one of the few things that works, and they think it's from some sort of oils or compounds in their skin. They're testing it, but they have started making little cages that chickens will sleep in next to your bed, so that you can protect yourself from malaria.
That's handy.
It's actually very amazing. So,
I think that if you're going to turn your life over to your chicken saving you from malaria, you should give it the free run of the bedroom.
Totally. I think they deserve a small palace at least.
Sure. That's a great service. And more importantly, when your friends come over and notice that you have a chicken in your bedroom, make sure that you tell them it's because you're fighting malaria.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll understand.
Good excuse, yeah. So, yeah, it says that the study shows for the first time that malaria mosquitoes actively avoid feeding on certain animal species, and that this behavior is regulated through odor cues. So, yeah, very interesting development in the control of disease using chickens. So in other news, which is in the Washington Post, they have found a technique to tell which eggs are going to turn into roosters, which is really quite incredible because as it is now, unfortunately, all the little roosters hatch and then they basically get exterminated. So if this were the case, they would be able to do this by shining a light inside an egg through a small hole and then somehow reading the actual DNA structure within it to determine if it has male or female genes, which is incredible. And another way they're trying to work on accomplishing this is from I think it's compounds or odors that the actual egg itself emits through the shell. So I'm imagining something like the sniffer at the airport for these eggs, but I'm not exactly sure. But anyway, a lot of these eggs, they can be determined if they're male or female right from the beginning, and they can go out to consumers to be eaten rather than thrown away.
You can catch the gases that the egg emits mm-hmm. in like a small bag and then read them for the hormones of the chick inside of it.
Aha.
And it's kind of an unfortunate thing, but I really got to say it because it really drives home the what a big deal this story is. And that's those chicken, the baby male chicks essentially get ground alive in a giant blender.
Yeah, it's really quite
right out of
awesome.
A horror movie or something. It's just, yeah, big. There's videos, they don't actually show them getting ground up, but yeah. Of these giant conveyor belts just stuffed full of baby chicks, and it like goes on and on and on and
they
on.
They just go down. It's some amazing, it's a quite a lot of the eggs are males too. I think maybe even half or something close to that. So it's an immense amount of eggs. And there's also the issue of the battery hens and all the cages. This could cut down their, you know, egg production needs a lot, and it could make it so we can supply people with a lot more eggs without having all those hens in the cages. That's pretty sweet.
It's a pretty good story because it's improving the condition for the birds on two ends. You know, on one end, all those male babies are never born. They're put into the egg industry. And the upside for that, too, is less need for battery hens, which means they'll all get more space.
Yes. Here in this article, I just found it. It's as many as 65% of eggs laid to U.S. laying hens are wasted because the half that are males end up killed, and as many as 15% are infertile. So they could determine this very early on, and 65% of those eggs could be put out for people to consume.
Just imagine how many eggs are out there in all of the grocery stores everywhere, and then double that amount and add some on top of it.
Yeah. This is incredible technology, and they're getting some sponsors to get money for the research to develop it, and
the industry is all for it, right?
Yeah, of course.
This is not something that needs to be pushed on the industry. They're excited for it.
They are going to save so much money as well from this because they're not going to be spending their resources on hatching roosters that they
don't want.
Going to kill, and that probably you have to pay people to do that too, so, or have the machinery. So this is wonderful for the hens and for people, and even as far as the companies are concerned, it's great for them too. So that is very exciting news there. We have another funny story here, which is pretty cool, about a vet who saved a chicken's life through an emergency hysterectomy. And let's see, Huffington Post tells us that while Myrtle the chicken was undergoing a monthly vet exam, it was discovered that the bird had a total of 11 eggs stuck inside her body. Ellie Lax, the founder of The Gentle Barn, an animal sanctuary in California where Myrtle currently lives, explains that by the looks of it, the bird was unable to push the eggs out itself. So the doctors, looking to save its life, took 6-year-old Myrtle into surgery and removed the eggs themselves. So she was able to go on about her life, and it's pretty rare that a vet would take time with chickens. So it's a pretty cool story of someone going out of their way and doing things they didn't have to do to save this wonderful chicken. And
that is something you have to watch with your hens. Sometimes they can get what's called impacted, and they basically, their egg system gets backed up, and then you have to, there's things you can do to try to get them back online again, and you can look those up on the internet, but this just kind of is an aside. That's not an uncommon problem.
Interesting. So that happens frequently.
Egg impaction.
Yeah,
it's a thing that you look for in your birds if they stop laying when they're too young. I mean, all hens stop laying. So if your hen stops laying, it doesn't mean freak out. But there's actually a lot of reasons why a hen might stop laying. But one of them is because their system becomes impacted, and then you have to help them out there.
I mean, my goodness, that many eggs, that's amazing.
Sounds uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Well, they saved her.
That's pretty cool. And we have the opposite situation here as well, of a chicken that saved a Wisconsin couple's life after it alerted them to a fire that ultimately burned down their entire house.
Mm-hmm.
So this chicken.
Smokey the chicken.
Yes. Smoked chicken.
Yeah, well, except not, because they got away. So what happened?
So the smoke detectors in the house seemed to be not working. However, the chicken was in the basement and started squawking its alarm calls and distress sounds, and it woke the couple up in the middle of the night. and they sensed that something was horribly wrong, and so they got up and escaped from the fire, all because of this chicken. The woman, she said she heard the commotion of the chicken, and let's see, neighbor Brad Kruger, who was originally on the chicken, told the news station, "I've heard animals waking people up, but never a chicken. One of the couple's cats was also making a lot of noise, helping to alert them to the danger at hand. Sadly, they had two cats, one of which died in the inferno that completely destroyed the home." So, yeah, the police were very surprised at how the couple had escaped the blaze, and the fire department ended up saving the chicken. So, yeah.
Right. Well, it's like I said in the last story, you know, if you're going to have a chicken that's saving you from malaria, you in your bedroom, at least have the decency to let it have the free run of the bedroom. And if you're going to have a chicken in your house to save you when your house burns down, at least have the decency to take her out of the basement and put her in a good bedroom.
Yeah. I mean, an organic fire alarm.
I'd say give her your room and you just sleep on the couch.
You should sleep in the basement. All the services the chickens are providing you. My goodness.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
It's only fair.
It's only fair. No foul play here.
That's right. And that was Chicken News Tonight with Amber Hugsens.
So we're going to talk about how to prepare your yard for chickens today.
Oh, yeah. That's an important topic.
It's very important.
In fact, I'd say that a good portion of the work that you'll end up doing for your chickens happens before you have them.
Yeah.
If you're smart.
If you're smart, because they can really do a lot of damage in your yard if you don't.
To your yard and themselves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
One time, I got this goat, a giant male weather La Mancha, which is like this goat that has really super tiny, almost invisible ears. Mm-hmm. And this thing was like the size of a small pony.
Uh-huh.
And it was free on Craigslist for a reason, folks. they're free for a reason. And I was totally unprepared for it. But it was like, we got to go get the goat because it's free and on Craigslist and you got to act fast for stuff like that. So we drove to wherever and got the chicken and brought it back in the back of the Toyota Tacoma pickup, the small version with the shell, and stuck it in our chicken coop with chicken wire. And not like in the building itself, mm-hmm. but in the little yard that mm-hmm. was about, I don't know, 12 by 20 or something like that. And it proceeded to chew its way right through the wire fence.
Oh, no.
Yep. Well, it's a giant animal. I got into the pen with it and walked across the pen, and when I turned around, it turned towards me and stood up on its hind legs and just kind of aimed its forehead at my chest. Like,
wow.
You could tell it was getting ready. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, oh, my God, because it was like 7 feet tall when it did that.
Wow.
Because they're huge. I don't know. It felt like it was 7 feet tall, but it was taller than me, that's for sure.
Uh-huh.
And I just puffed up really big and roared at it. And you could see him think about it. And then he sat back down on the ground. And I thought, oh,
thank goodness.
God, yeah, that was close. You know, because, yeah, I wasn't going to win.
That's... Your yard wasn't big enough for your goat enthusiasm.
So the point of my rabbit trailing off there is it's better. It would have been a lot better if I had a goat pen waiting to go, you know, and the proper enclosure
research.
And had a plan. But, yeah, but why do that, folks, right?
When you're excited, you know. First things first. But.
So chickens won't necessarily headbutt you into oblivion, but if you're not ready for them, but you might want to headbutt yourself into oblivion if you're not ready for them. So what do we do to get ready to have chickens in the yard?
Well, for one thing, they are going to scratch up everything looking for bugs and You just have to make sure that anything that you value back there is either something they're not attracted to eating or is very, very protected from them.
Yeah.
Yeah. They like to dig and scratch. They like to sample everything in here. They're very curious and, you know, might take a bite out of this or a bite out of that leaf just to see what it is. And they may take a dust bath right next to the roots of your favorite plant and can kill it. So, and they might eat all your vegetables or right. animal plants too.
So, one thing about the chickens and our conversation here is we're going to be talking under the assumption that you have a yard and don't just have endless tracts of land that your chickens are going to roam freely over, because yeah, that you just turn them loose and hope for the best in a lot of ways. So this is, we'll talk mostly about having them in a city or in some kind of relatively small fenced-in area. I kept mine in a fenced-in area, even though I had basically endless acreage, for their own protection. Mm-hmm. And another consideration, too, is keeping them away from things like piles of scrap metal, which if you live out in the middle of nowhere, you inevitably end up having mm-hmm. someplace. There might be drill shavings all over, you know, from drilling holes in metal, uh-huh. or someplace where you work on your car uh-huh. and lose little screws.
Yeah, they like shiny things. They like to peck
and they'll
at them.
Eat. Yeah, mm-hmm. and they will eat it. You think,
BB
no,
gun pellets.
Why would a chicken eat a metal ball?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's shiny,
sparkly,
and their brain isn't much bigger than the ball.
Yeah, it sparkles. I must eat it.
But they're very good at being chickens. And you know, naturally chickens don't have to worry about BBs, but in your yard they might.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, that's another thing to get, you know, you want to go through your yard and you want to look for anything poisonous or metallic or just little screws or whatever
glass.
It is. And if you know there's some place where there's a lot of scrap metal, it might be worth it to go over it with, find like a big magnet and just drag it back and forth over the ground to pick up as much as you can, you know. And in the city, you know, other people have lived there before you, and there might be stuff in the yard that they left. So it's good to just kind of look around for things that you don't want your chicken to eat or get tangled in or whatever.
Yeah, if you have a very old house, you may want to consider getting your soil tested for lead.
Do it.
Yeah.
Not consider.
Right, because it does.
If you live in a house that's old enough to have lead paint in it,
yeah.
especially if it's like a really old house, so it mm-hmm. had lead paint for a long time, it's almost certain that the people that repainted that house just scraped the paint off the side of the house and let it fly all over the yard.
Yeah.
And that might not be a big deal if your house has, if like you've put in a bunch of soils and covered all that up, because that's what a lot of the houses in those neighborhoods, they have an inch of soil over that area,
mm-hmm.
but especially right around the house, that's where you want to look for that.
And that's where chickens like to dig for bugs and stuff too, is in the crevices right there.
Yep.
So
yep.
especially want to look out for it.
Yeah. You know, you just have to use some intelligence. If you feel like all that paint is buried really deep down there and the chickens aren't going to get to it, then you know, evaluate your own situation. There's a lot of different ones. But I guess we're going to go a little bit into one of my horror stories with chickens here, because
uh-oh.
It's really important, folks. And, you know, I didn't worry about it until it happened to me. So it really can happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
So the story is, I've got some chickens off Craigslist, and I lived an hour and a half away from where I had to pick them up. So it was kind of one of those things where it was a minimum 3-hour round trip, and half of that was with chickens in the all over in the back of the truck, and you know, so we were kind of in a hurry,
mm-hmm.
and went to this yard, this house here in Oakland,
oh.
and picked up a bunch of chickens and looked at them all, and I noticed one was blind, and asked about it and said, yeah, well, it's old. The guy said they're old and have cataracts. Mm-hmm. And I was like, huh, okay. You know, that happens. Mm-hmm. And with the backyard flock, there's usually a mixed age variety anyway. So there's usually one that's kind of old.
Right.
And it just kind of sits there and looks old and tired. And you take that one because really the person is trying to relieve themselves of their responsibility to the chickens. So it's just a nice thing to do. You know, if you're going to get eight free chickens, take the old lady one.
Who's don't leave them with the
probably going to die in 6 months, 12 months anyway. So whatever, you know, two extra bucks worth of feed. So threw them all in the pet carriers, took them all home, and loaded them all into their new house. And the next day, I noticed that they were more than one of them had cataracts, and some of them acted strange, and then one of them would do this weird sort of spasmodic stretching and just all sorts of weird behavior, and they had one of them had misdilated pupils where one was bigger than the other, all of these just clearly weird medical problems, right? I'd never seen anything like it.
Weird.
Yeah. So at first I thought it was a disease. Mm-hmm. You know, they've all got some disease. Mm-hmm. And at that point, and this is important, folks, if you go and pick up birds from some random person, check them out a lot before you put them in with the rest of your birds. You should have a quarantine area set up where you monitor them separately from your other birds, and you never let your birds into your quarantine area for, I forget how much time it is, but at least a week mm-hmm. is how long you want to do it to see if they have diseases. Because some of these diseases, if you let them into your flock, not only will they kill all of your birds in unpleasant ways, but the disease also contaminates the soil, and you can never have chickens again.
Yeah, some of these things are really hard to get rid of. It's so sad.
I learned way more than I wanted to learn about chicken diseases before I called a chicken specialist veterinarian and talked to them, and they said, well, have you considered heavy metals poisoning? Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, really? That's interesting. Heavy metals poisoning. So we talked about it, and I determined that many of them had some form of heavy metals poisoning. So I called the people that that I got the chickens from. Now, when I picked these chickens up, it was a really nice chicken coop, and they lived in this yard that was like lush green grass, really huge. There was a giant vegetable garden in the middle of it. It was a really cute little family, actually. Yeah. They were in their 20s, and they had this new baby, and the vegetable garden and the chickens. So I called them, and I got the wife and said, hey, listen, I need to tell you, your birds, it's not just that they're old. They have heavy metals poisoning. How old is your house? And she said, well, it's about 100 years old. And I said, huh, that's interesting, you know. And she said, you know, recently we dug up this giant trash pit from the backyard where 100 years ago people were burying all their garbage. Oh. And in digging up that trash pit, they brought up all of that poisoned soil to the surface. So I pointed out to her, you know, you're growing vegetables in that and feeding it to your children.
Yeah.
You might want to think about that.
Vegetables are a little safer. The lead rarely makes it into the fruits of them, but chickens...
Whereas the chickens are directly stuffing lead into their mouths.
It's very common, actually, for chickens to have high levels of lead in their eggs. In the city that we live in, there was some studies done, and it was actually quite high, so it's something you should definitely...
There is a problem in the Oakland area with backyard chickens and lead. So, yeah, check out your birds before you get them. And which is the side note, quite a tangent there, but it's important to get out because, man, that was really scary. Yeah. I took all those birds home. I thought, Jesus, I'd thought that I brought some plague into my chicken utopia and I was going to lose 50 birds. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine having 50 birds and having them all drop dead
so
in
sad.
Front of you from a disease that you brought home because you didn't bother to spend 10 minutes looking at the birds you picked up? You don't want that.
Very devastating.
So, luckily, it was it was heavy's metal poisoning, which is not contagious.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, they were all sick.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I ended up putting them all down.
So
because there was no quality of life for most of them.
Yeah. There is something you can do. I guess compost and fish bone meal.
Right. Tell them about that. That
high
was
high in phosphates, I believe. And those actually attach to the heavy metals and transform them into a non-toxic substance. So that's you know, a lot of consolation there, and something that came to mind for me, although I haven't done any research on this, is those are the same types of things that are found in onions and garlic, and I know in my backyard, it is absolutely full of wild onions, and the chickens love to eat that, so I'm kind of hoping that those plants being there and taking over have actually maybe done some of that work, or at least the chickens eating them might have a good effect on any heavy metal toxicity that might exist. Though I'm not sure.
If you can find it, remove it.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't find it, treat it.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I would say bury it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is in a permaculture sense, and I'd encourage people to learn about wood chip gardening, mulching, where instead of tilling the soil, you just keep adding layers of nutrient and compost and stuff like that to build the soil thicker and thicker. And there's a lot of reasons why you don't want to till for gardening anyway, but that's a totally different subject. So just the point is the chickens aren't going to eat the paint chips if the paint chips are under 6 inches of wood chips and compost, and you know they dig, but they don't dig that much.
Yeah, that might be one of the best ways to deal with that, really.
But chickens do dig, actually, and since we're supposed to be talking about how to set up your yard, why don't we go into that? So chickens will dig.
Oh,
have you seen that before?
Oh, they love to. They'll scratch up everything. I only had 2 chickens out there this last year, and I started calling them my little destroyers because I would take my eyes off them for a minute. They tend to be smart enough to do some of these things when I'm not looking. But they love to make their dust baths in the gardens, and they like to get up on things and just devour stuff. There's a few of my ornamental flowers that they just go crazy on, and they will eat every last leaf off of it if you let them. So yeah, they are busy little creatures back there.
And you have to think about them going under fences.
Uh-huh.
So whenever I put in a wire fence that I'm going to keep chickens in, I leave an extra almost a foot of wire at the bottom, and I fold that along the ground, and then I'll put something on top of it like rocks.
Nice.
And then soil over that. So they'd literally have to dig down half a foot away, and then tunnel.
So you've had experiences with chickens digging under fences? This is something I've never...
Oh, yeah, they try. Happened. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Especially if you have them in the same place for a lot of years, and they'll just keep digging at the ground, and eventually
a little hole gets
formed. Oh. I've seen them tunnel through fences. Yeah, and on the flip side, you've got animals trying to get in.
Mm-hmm.
So if you run wire along the bottom of a fence, I always try to lay the fence down on the ground and then cover it
on the bottom. I put plywood in the bottom of mine, and then I put dirt on top of that. So
that'll work, too.
Yeah, I haven't had any predators get in there except for some rats.
Rats. Yeah. Rats are a bit
but
of a problem.
Else.
So yeah, predators are a concern. Mm-hmm. Here's a couple of things. I think it's a good idea to go around if you've got wooden fences. Look on the fences for scratch marks, especially in the corners and by the posts.
Oh, okay.
And with some study, and not much really, you can figure out, like, is this a squirrel climbing it? Is it a raccoon? Mm-hmm. You know, that's one way to help you get a sense of how many chicken threat animals there are out there. Because the rats aren't a super threat. They're more of a nuisance. But things like raccoons, skunks, foxes, you know, Loch Ness monsters.
Just assume that they are there whether you see evidence or not, because your chickens may attract them. Hawks as well will come and maybe try to capture some of your young chickens. You have to think about securing the top of the coop as well.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And also, one thing to consider is don't make it too much of a haven for the predator animals. Like, don't feed your cats and dogs outside, which you shouldn't do anyway, but especially if you have chickens, because there's a free food bowl by your chickens. And no, they won't just eat the food and not your chickens. Yeah. They'll look at both.
And the raccoons and opossums and stuff, they can be just a nuisance on their own. A lot of people want to get rid of them. And
keep all your vent screens in your house sealed along the bottom of your house and up in your attic, so you aren't giving them a raccoon hotel with a snack bar that's 50 feet away. People don't think about this stuff, but it helps. It makes a difference.
Scenario.
You might want to look at getting a have-a-heart trap for catching errant wildlife that shows up anyway.
Mm-hmm. The best is
if you do that, consider whether or not your own pet might get caught in the trap.
Right.
You can actually train cats. They'll just... once they learn it's not going to kill them, they just walk into the trap to get the cat food and then just yowl indignantly until you come get them out, you will. And then once they learn that you will, well, guess what?
Yeah. It's really the best thing to discourage them from coming in the first place, because even if you capture that animal and transport it somewhere else, there'll be more. More will come back if you have the goods that they're after.
Yeah, exclosure is always the best policy with wildlife and chickens. So going back to what you were saying about how they like to eat your yard plants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Make sure that they never get the chance to, because once they get the chance to, you're going to have a much harder time convincing them to not eat them and
they
to stay out. They remember.
Yes.
I'm reminded of this picture that you see now and then on the internet. It's this horse tethered to a plastic lawn chair.
Uh-huh.
And the horse is just sitting there because it thinks it's tied up.
Uh-huh.
To this dinky little plastic lawn chair, right? So the point of the photo is, you know, you're only as captured as you think you are, kind of thing. So it's the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Once the chickens think to themselves, oh, I can't get in here, they kind of stop looking. And I've had, like, I've made fenced off parts for my plants, and then they kind of fall apart because it's hard to keep track of maintaining everything.
Yeah.
But the chickens, because they've never gone in there, never think, hey, I can go in here.
Yeah, they're kind of habitual.
But once they learn, then it's all over, and you're going to be fighting them. So keep up on the fences. But
yes, fences help.
And fences are important, too. Another thing to think about is if I'm going to have chickens long-term, and if I'm not just going to order them from the mail once and then start over and then start over, if I want to have chicks, roosters, different breeds, stuff like that, you might need more than one enclosure and chicken house.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you don't need one big chicken house. Maybe you need three smaller ones, three separate areas. Depends on what you do, but... You know, like, I've had one hen hatch out a bunch of chicks, and then you want to keep her in a separate house.
Yes.
And away from everybody. So suddenly you've got to have two chicken houses.
Yeah.
But then you don't want to just leave that hen trapped in the chicken house. You need a little yard, but that yard has to be fenced off from the rest of the chickens.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to keep them inside for the one hen to get out.
It's complicated.
Become the air traffic controller with all the competing gangs that you've got to keep separated.
Yeah, speaking of air traffic, clipping their wings can be a good thing. Just even the first season they're out, because when I first got my hens, they would try to hop up on the coop and get in the neighbor's yard, and I clipped their flight feathers once, and I never had to do it again. So it's kind of like the story you told earlier.
Habit.
Just don't let them know that they can do that, and they're not
right.
going to try to do it, which can just save you a lot of trouble. And I think if they're really frightened, they probably can fly. So I don't want to take that ability away from them. It's just
right.
much better if they aren't thinking like that until it's an emergency.
They get accustomed to things.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And they really can fly. A lot of chickens, you'd be quite surprised.
You want to avoid any so-called chicken ladders that might be next to your fence because they'll just hop up whatever is stacked against your fence and then hop over or hop on top of it. And then once they get used to that, you're really in trouble. Yeah, it's better to just keep that from happening. And another point I wanted to make is part of the way you keep that from happening is you don't make a habitat that is poo for them, you know? Make a good spot that they want to stay in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, chickens start trying to get out when they look over a fence or can smell through the fence.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, it smells like
a big, looks pretty good.
Big, lush, deep lawn over there with berries all over the place. And I'm in this yard that has been picked clean of everything because my owner kept 20 chickens or 100 in the two houses, right?
Yeah.
I'm amazed. I wonder if the neighbors ended up with stray chickens all the time.
No, I wonder if they escaped. I don't know.
Wouldn't you want to?
I'm so curious about how all this worked.
How all that worked,
I mean, I wish there was more information. I would like to interview that woman if I could, honestly.
Yeah,
That would be really cool.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, I'm sure she's a listener.
She better be.
Everybody better be.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't? So, yeah, what else do we have on the yard?
We
talked about soil, mulching, keeping your... Yeah, so have you seen this thing on the internet where people tell you that you don't have to worry about letting your chickens in your garden because they'll just pick all the bugs off the plants?
I have heard that, but the common experience is that they just eat just about everything.
What planet are you people on? Seriously.
How are they training these chickens? I must know.
I
because my chickens are indiscriminate.
I think you might as well just walk into your garden and get like one of those big 9-foot switches and just whoosh.
And if you have seeds, kiss them goodbye.
Seedlings, yeah.
Seedlings, those are delicious.
It's such a
delicacy
joke.
For chickens.
No, they won't eat your plants, but they will tear them out of the soil and rototill your entire garden. And leave your plants dying in the sun. So if that's okay with you, by all means, let them... They might take out a couple bugs, too, right?
A couple bugs.
Certainly.
I'm afraid that I see them eating more plants than bugs.
Well, yeah. They're easy to find. They're just sitting there.
Yeah, they don't run.
The added benefit of tearing the plants apart is occasionally a bug pops out. So, yeah. Hey, good news. I killed all the bugs in your garden.
So please let us know if you have the magic trick for keeping your chickens from eating all your plants. Please let us know, because...
Is it a meditation practice, maybe?
Maybe.
You meditate with your chickens? Crawl into the cage with
chicken
them?
Chicken mind control.
Yes.
Yes, subliminal chicken programming.
I think because chickens have small brains, when you learn chicken mind control, you can control a whole flock at once. It's just like a tiny little part of your brain controls a whole brain of theirs.
If you can control one person's mind, I think you control at least 20 chickens' minds.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
One
cool thing that I like to do to prevent them from digging up the yard with their dust baths is I spray it down really, really well before I let them out so it's mud, and they won't go anywhere near that. So if you remember to do that, it's a good preventative technique. And I noticed that they always kind of do it in the same spot, and you were mentioning earlier making an area that might attract them.
Right, they like loose dry soil for that, so mm-hmm. you can just cultivate an area for that. And yeah, they'll be more ideally attracted to it. You know, if it's a lawn and then a dusty area, they're going to try having the dust bath in the dusty area, not your lawn.
I saw actually a brilliant idea that someone had used just an old tire, and they had filled that with dirt and then some sort of dusty mm-hmm. substance, and the chickens were doing their dust bath in that. And so right. they could kind of refill it and keep it in one spot.
So keep your chickens from trying to hop over the fence by not having too many chickens, having lots of good soil full of bugs that's mm-hmm. around for them to eat, mm-hmm. and shade, mm-hmm. and fresh water too.
Yes.
Yeah, they really like fresh water. It's so much more than like the gravity feeder that sits there and cooks in the sun and gets stuff in it that makes, yeah. So yeah, keep that stuff clean and you'll have happy chickens, and they won't be constantly trying to bust out of your yard. Mm-hmm. If you've got a pet door mm-hmm. Into your house, you're going to have the chickens are going to try to come in the house. Uh-huh. So you need to work that out.
Bungee cords for gates are great because they allow you to go through them, and then they just cause it to automatically close if you want to keep your chickens in the yard.
That's true.
Check your fences if you have them, if you have
loose boards,
slats or boards, and make sure they can't fit their way through. And remember, they're mostly feathers, so they're actually a lot smaller than they look. They could fit through some tight spots.
You might want to, if you have a dog, set things up so that the dog can see the chickens but not get at them for a couple weeks, and gradually introduce your chicken to the dogs. Mm-hmm. The dog to the chickens, make sure that they're gonna stay friends. Never, you know, really make sure at the beginning that your dog doesn't get a chance to kill the chicken. Mm-hmm. They say the secret to training pets is to prevent them from being able to fail. So, you know, make sure that your dog can't kill the chickens. Make sure, I really think that part of why my dog was so good with chickens was that she understood that the chickens were important to us.
Uh-huh.
And that might have been the breed, because she was a Doberman and they're all about guarding their tribe,
uh-huh.
you know?
Uh-huh.
That's their whole life, all they think about,
mm-hmm.
you know? But, yeah, so introduce them as part of the family, pet the chicken in front of the dog, you know? And, you know, it's not a toy. Get the dogs used to chickens, that's important.
Yeah. I've seen some pictures of chickens sitting on top of your Doberman's head.
You might need to raise, put wires on the top of your gates if you have low garden gates, because, mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't matter if your fence is 10 feet tall if your gate is only 3.
Yeah.
Or 2.5. You might want to think about trimming up tree branches
mm-hmm.
that the chickens can use as a ladder to get mm-hmm. into the yard or just up into a tree, because...
Mm-hmm.
If your chickens get up into trees, they might decide that the tree is a safer place to sleep at night.
They might try to roost there.
And then...
won't be able to get them down.
Never. Yeah.
Guess who else can get up there is the raccoons, too, so that's a bad
right.
scenario.
Right. Yeah. You want to make sure they go into the house.
Mm-hmm. There's automatic chicken doors you can get nowadays. I haven't used one personally, but... they close on a timer or something like that.
So if you have a much bigger space... you can have more chickens.
Yeah.
Which is always important.
Yeah.
But you might have a big enough yard that you might want to build what you would call a sacrifice zone. So you have your chicken house, and then immediately around that you have a small yard that's enough size that, say, the chickens can live a crowded but reasonably comfortable life
mm-hmm.
as long as they sit in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not what you'd want to give a chicken if you had your choice, but it's not tight enough that you could call it cruel, you know, tolerable conditions. And then you have a gate through that, and you have your much bigger yard. And what that allows you to do, you call that the sacrifice zone. See, if you let your chickens and you have too many of them into your yard, they'll immediately go around and do high grading, or what's called eating all the ice cream. And that is a professional term, but ranchers use to describe cattle that go out into a new pasture, find the best plant, and eat all of them in the whole pasture before they walk around and find the next best plant and then eat all of that. And then the next, and so forth and so on down. And that's where you get into rotational grazing, where you break up the yard into several different yards and use that to rotate them through so that the best plants, the ice cream as it is allowed to recover. So this is sort of a miniature version of that. And I used the sacrifice zone yard in the summer when the plants had all pretty much died back and there wasn't a lot of greenery anyway, and I didn't want them to just absolutely kill every last green thing in the yard. And in the spring, when the plants were just starting to seed, because I wanted them to grow up and turn into enough of something to eat, because if you keep your chickens on the spring, the new spring seedlings, they'll just eat all the seedlings, and then nothing good really grows there if you got too many birds. So that's a tactic there, is having this sacrifice zone. And it's like, well, you know, for a few weeks the chickens are going to live in this tight little yard, and I'll give them plenty of store food.
Yeah.
You know, not natural food, store food. And then once the plants out there have grown up enough, I'll let the chickens out, and the grass is, you know, half a foot tall or whatever, and then they've got something to eat. And
they do love to eat that grass. They break it off, so they're actually like little lawnmowers sometimes.
I had about a half acre yard, and an average, I'd say, of about 17 birds. And those guys, I didn't need to mow. You know,
with the grass, they keep it short. They don't like to uproot it really. They just go on plucking off the leaves.
Well, when it's too young, they just eat it.
Oh, when it's a seedling, But when it's older, they kind of just break it off.
Trim it back and trim it back, and it stays alive. That's the important part.
That's a nice thing.
So, yeah, you might want to think about managing your browse, so to speak. And part of that is proper population. How you want to make sure that they have plenty of store food to eat, you know. You shouldn't let your chickens rely on foraging. Always supplement. That's the thing. And then we have other tips for how to save half of your food bill too, that we'll get into in another show.
That's
gonna be good stuff. Well, you think there's anything we haven't covered and started for getting ready? Have plenty of water, food, shelter, security.
Think
about predators,
that they're
shade.
Yeah, predators, maybe clipping the wings at least the first season.
If there's anything they can fly over.
If there's anything they can fly over, you know, fencing off your gardens.
That's right, protecting your plants.
Yeah, watering before you let them out to prevent dust bathing in specific areas. Providing a specific dust bathing area if you're able to.
Not letting them get into your garden.
Because
they'll eat it.
Yeah, that's about it, I think. I can't remember anything else that we missed.
Well, all right, great. So I think we've about gone on for close to half an hour here. So we should probably wrap it up. And what do you think we might talk about next time?
Well, I'd like to talk about the feed and maybe a little bit more about chicken diets.
Feed and dieting. Yes, chicken diets.
And maybe how to work your compost and maybe even vermicomposting into feeding your chickens a high, healthy protein diet.
That's right. That we didn't quite cover that with the yard thing, because it really isn't about preparing the yard, but the chicken is the farm's composter.
Yep.
They turn everything into the soil. Yep, in a number of ways. So
that would be a good topic to cover. There's a lot we could go into with that. even, you know, we could talk about all sorts of things, raising worms, mealworms, fermenting the food.
Well, dude, diet, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
All right. Well, great. Stay tuned for episode 4 of the Twin Beaks podcast.
Yes, and thanks for listening.
Yay.
See you next time.
See you next time.
Go.
Approach me, students. Sit at the feet of the master. Wake up early. Stay busy. Rest when you need to, but always stay alert. Visit your favorite places each day. Scratch out a living. Routine is good. Plump is good. Don't ponder your purpose in life. Your brain is too small. Accept the pecking order and know your enemies. Weed your garden. Protect your children fiercely. Sit on them if you need to. Take them for walks. Show them the little things and talk constantly. Make a nice nest. Share it with friends. Brag on your accomplishments. Don't count your chickens before they hatch. Protect your nest. Test your wings once in a while. Squawk when necessary. As you age, demand respect. Leave a little something for those who care about you. Chase butterflies.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in to Twin Beaks, the third episode. Our poem today was by Mikael Olsen, titled All I Needed to Know in Life I Learned from My Hens. Music by Andrew Moeller, Michael Fleeb, and Roland Huntner. Special big fat worm thank yous to Amber for managing all of the technology thingies. Fabulous work as always. Doesn't it sound amazing? She makes it sound amazing.
Aww.
Tune in next time when we talk about all kinds of things about chickens and probably a few others too, since I tend to go on and we just get so excited talking about it. Thank you all.
Bye-bye now.